Do either of you guys know, like, creepy siblings at all?
Wait, creepy siblings?
Yeah, like creepy siblings. Like, you know the family and, like, the siblings are creepy. Like, maybe you went to school with one of them and then they had, like, a creepy brother or something.
There was a guy in my high school. His sister was, like, a couple, like, 2 or 3 years older, but they were, like, way too close. Like, they would, the way they, like, she'd put his arm around him, he'd put his arm around her, but not like when they're, like, 5 and it's cute, but when they're, like, 16 and 12. And, like, I don't know, like, just, you know, they both had the same face, too. So the combination of them having the same face and being all touchy-feely and their dad being named Gordon, it was just too much.
Kind of like Charlotte and Ric Flair with the same face.
Oh, God. Yeah, at least Rick is, like, way too old for Charlotte, but he'd bang Charlotte, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Would you consider the Caprons creepy, Josh?
I'm racking my brain just in ignoring everything that Aaron was saying right there, trying to think of creepy people. But that would be the closest, I would say. But they weren't even that creepy. They just kind of – they were just closer in age, you know?
Mm.
Do you think we accept incest from the homosexual side because there is no fear of abomination? Season 1, Episode 7, Charlie Gets Molested. Guys, are we ready?
I'm ready.
JT, Josh?
As I told the priest when I was an altar boy, I got you, man.
That's awfully disturbing. All right, we're 11:15 a.m. on a Monday. This is our first Monday, correct?
All right.
We cut into the bar, and Dennis and Charlie are playing pool. And Mac comes in with a big holy shit. Because Christopher Murray is being accused of sexually abusing two former students. We go into a bit of Christopher Murray. He's the boys' basketball coach. And the names are being withheld of the accusers. Now, Charlie starts to get really weird here, right? And he mentions that he was taught by the man and in the same class as Mac, who was also taught by the man. And then Charlie kind of looks down and says, very sheepishly says, I didn't like the class, and then basically runs away. Dennis then lands a, holy shit, Charlie got molested. Did either of you know anybody who got molested?
I know molesters, and I had, like, close contact. Both in elementary school, one of the priests at the Catholic school, and then a story we've told multiple times, I think. Josh and I's, I think it was assistant vice president, principal in high school, was busted on pervertedjustice.com, which was before, like, Chris Hansen and everything, where they would just kind of set the bait, and, like, the guy wouldn't act, they would just kind of out them, and he ended up losing his job because of it, like, in the early 2000s.
Now, I got to point out, though, so that wasn't my first time in the vicinity of that man. For me, he had also been the head of the Boy Scout camp that I went to for, like, years, okay? I didn't know this until, like, well into my Hendrickson tenure there. So, like, for me, I look at it as, like, I dodged this guy twice, / why not me?
So you're going to tie into this episode. JT, have we ever talked about the vice principal situation?
I don't know. I know I've told it many times.
We talked about it on Jenny.
That's right.
My high school, well, first, the man was my principal in elementary school. And then my high school, in my last year, it came out that he was molesting his kids, my vice principal.
Ugh.
And
like his own kids?
Yes. Ugh. And his kids went to the school with us.
Awful.
Yep. That's terrible.
Awful. Aaron, three priests that I have been in contact with by being an altar server or Father Facette, who was at our high school, all were also accused of molesting kids.
Well, Josh, you gotta put out.
Why not me?
You got to put out. You got to put the signals out there.
It's funny because I was actually thinking the same thing back to the episode of the Jenny Position as well. We did with right. the Have you seen Pluto? Have you heard of Pluto? With where you told the story about the abduction, the near abduction.
Right.
And I wanted to know why he didn't come after me across the street. So a lot of Charlie Mack vibes with me and you with these situations.
We get the open to the show here.
Hang on, though. There is one creepy thing, Aaron, with the high school guy. Oh. So obviously Josh went to a very strict Catholic high school, and they didn't allow facial hair. And he was like a Nazi about it. And my facial hair grows very fast, as Josh could attest to. Like right. 5 o'clock shadow, like the next day if I shave kind of thing. So it was hard for me at age, 15, 16 to keep up with shaving every day.
Shaving every day, yeah.
And he would just berate you. And now looking back, I think he just wanted everyone to look really young.
Well, if you're getting a blowjob, you don't want to feel like the scruffiness of the beard around.
You don't know what he was doing to them, Adam.
Yeah, no. I don't think he ever acted. I think he just was a creep.
But before we move on, I want to point out, is this the first time we got the titular line, or how many times have we gotten the titular line in the cold open this time? A lot of times they've used the title frame as kind of like giving us the titular line based on what they were talking about, prior to that.
I think this is the first time, yeah.
Right? Okay, cool.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
that's it.
So we get the open. As we come back, Dennis is spitting some wisdom in the bar. He's saying, when dealing with molestation, the first step is understanding, and we need to take a moment to assess the situation. He then demands that D write this down. D argues that the first step is not understanding, but it's acknowledgement. Guys, which is it? Is it understanding or acknowledgement?
Acknowledgement.
Well, you got to acknowledge it to begin to understand it. So, yeah, I think we have to go with that step.
Yeah. Then they immediately shit on Mac for like participating in the conversation because both Dee and Dennis took psychology at Penn.
That's such a Dee and Dennis thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And like one of them's a major and the other one's a minor, but one of them passed, the other one failed. Dee wants to do an intervention, and Dennis shits on that whole thing. And he's like, it's a bad idea to have some sort of surprise party where the main event is Charlie admitting he got blown by a gym teacher. Now Mac is now perks right up, and he's like, whoa, who said anything about being blown? But then he's really interested. He needs to know, but did he get blown? I want to point out too, as Mac is talking, because they're in one of their apartments, there's a clear picture of a poster of WWE wrestlers on the wall. Did either of you catch this?
No, I did not.
Yeah,
I did. I didn't see who though.
Yeah, one of them's for sure Stone Cold Steve Austin. But is this a good picture of mid-2000s WWE fans?
No, I feel like that would have been, like in college, I had an Austin poster, and that was like 98 to 02. I would think 05, well, I guess it's probably nostalgic. I mean, what are they going to have, a fucking John Cena poster up, I guess, so.
Right.
Maybe they could have like a Ric Flair poster, maybe.
Did you guys, sorry, go Aaron.
No, you go.
No, I was going to ask another thing about their apartment. So if you got something else.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I would imagine that poster's been up there for like the 5 or 6 years it's been since Austin was on top.
Right, yeah.
They just haven't taken it down more than totally. Anything.
I was actually more surprised it wasn't a Hogan one.
Right.
They seem like more nostalgic, right.
And a Bobo Brazil poster.
Well, I feel like them hitting all those, like, really, when they really start get hit in their stride, that's when they start hitting all those little nostalgia points mm-hmm. that they become, like, really good at, So that, I think, like we've talked about a million times, set dressing here was just, like, whatever at this stage of the game. But did you see the guitar that was both, there was a case and a guitar out.
Yep.
And then I had to rack my brain if I've ever seen Dennis or Mac play the guitar the entire series after this.
It has to be like Dennis's as a prop to get women, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. That was the next line I wrote down. So is this a prop for Dennis to get women?
It absolutely has to be.
Fuck yes. Thank you.
My tools. I need to have my tools. Mac is really like worried about like if Charlie got blown or not, but Dennis and Dee just blow him off.
Mm-hmm.
Mac wants to get to the bottom of this though. He also name drops that it was the McPoyles that were the complaints. That's the first drop of that name.
Big debut.
And Mac can understand if the coach was fondling him, but if he's dishing out blowjobs, Mac just doesn't get it. He doesn't know what happened. And he doesn't get it because he was in that class and I was with those guys. Max storms out, and Dee and Dennis are really are trying to comfort him. Mm-hmm. How do we feel about Max's inadequacy here, Josh?
His inadequacy about feeling unpicked by the abuser. Obviously, I can identify. No, I don't really identify. obviously, I'm just joking there, just joshing around. But I think, they've only kind of set stuff up for Mac as far as his sexuality here. But, it's very clear at this point that they're like, we're going to make this a big part of Mac. You know what I mean? Because this is, the third time they've hit on it. And then this one gets, adult men are involved as opposed to women that have not yet fully transitioned, you know? I think a lot of it's tied into that also. Mac being like, I want the... Why wasn't I picked?
We're getting the Catholic aspect creeping in, too. That's, aims toward, the repression and stuff with it, right. And his views on it all. So, that's going to become a big part of his character as well, which you've already seen little bits of.
Could I commend your bravery for a second here, Josh?
I'll always take a commendation.
Because if I was you, I would never use the phrase, I'm just joshing.
Oh, God. I you have to understand how many times I don't overuse it, but with certain people in certain situations, it's a favorite go-to of mine.
So Mac now is in his room. He's just rifling through some boxes, looking for pictures. He brings up old pictures of himself, and he doesn't get it. He's like, I was cute. I was energetic. I was fun. What exactly is this prick looking for? Why didn't I get blown? And Dennis looks at him and goes, you're going to hell, dude. And so, JT, his behavior has to be so bad that Dennis would say this, right?
Right. Or is Dennis just annoyed with him and trying to shut him up, and he knows that'll trigger him?
We cut next to Charlie knocking at the McPoyle's door. Liam answers the door in a towel, and he is so wet. He's so just good. So wet. Okay, now let's stop. First impressions of the McPoyles.
The caper on. No, amazing. Him in the towel. Obviously we know where the McPoyles go and what they end up being, but to start this way, it's not even some shows you get characters like this that ramp into that, right? They kind of start and then get more and more creepy as they realize what they're hitting on.
Nope.
But this one. I mean, right out of the fucking gate, he's in the towel and says, we just got out of the shower. and Charlie's like, what? And he's just like, yeah, we just got out of the shower. Both are super creepy looking and they just own it completely. They seem completely comfortable with being so fucking creepy.
Yeah, I love that Charlie wouldn't walk in front of him. Because it's we have nothing on these guys other than they're accusing this dude of being molested, and then Mac just told us that they smelled of old milk and whatever the rest of that line was. We have very little, and then immediately upon seeing them, and then Charlie, the way Charlie is acting around them, you get so far into how creepy they are without having to see very much. That's not a long scene, but I got the full McPoyle story, thought I did. Yeah.
And it's funny because so in acting school, they'll teach you that you can't actually play status. It's up to everybody else in the scene to give you the status. And Charlie Day does such an awesome job giving him the creepy status here. What you mentioned with him, not walking in front of him and stuff like that.
And the McPoyles just scream just West Virginia, creepy hillbillies, deliverance type stuff. They're just right away.
Well, it's Ryan's face. Ryan's face is Jimmy Simpson is just a great actor, which I learned from Westworld. So it made watching this now weird, because you're oh my gosh, it's, I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to ruin anything for Westworld for anyone. But Ryan's face is just a crime almost.
Yeah, they're perfect. It's really just perfect. Dennis and Dee are watching Charlie go into the apartment. And from his body language, they're basically oh, yeah, he got molested. And Dee's we got to get in there. Dennis is you can't just thrust yourself into the role of caregiver.
I like them as working together as a tandem in this one. They're trying to work together, but they're bickering. This was one of the first times I feel we really got the brother sister vibe out of them.
Totally.
They've just been doing this their whole lives. They're twins. They're dealing with the shit their whole lives. They obviously love each other, but they have major issues with each other and just dealing with it that way. So that's been something. The McPoyles also stand out because of the similarity to the Trump voice, which has always been a comp for me. So that stands out even more so these days.
I love when you're in their apartment. So you're in their apartment and Charlie's sitting on the couch and Liam's there. He still hasn't changed out of the towel. He's sitting way too close. But there's like a stuffed squirrel on the table, which is clearly like what's the word when you kill something in
taxidermy?
It's clearly been taxidermed. Mm-hmm. And the whole time that they're talking, Liam is just staring at the squirrel. What is that squirrel and what do they do to it?
I can't even begin to venture.
Well, like Liam was his staring is like a part of the creepiness, because I noticed later on when we're in this episode, not to spoil it for anyone who's waiting for us to tell him what happens here, but when we're at Charlie's mom's, Liam does a thing where he just turns and stares at Dennis, and I was like, I'm watching him like, when's he gonna break? Is he going to break? Like, yeah. How long? Perfect. And it just made him so much creepier. Just like, it doesn't matter what he's staring at, just staring at anything.
Yeah. There's something wrong with this man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like Liam's all over him. He's like, Charlie, you can't go. Charlie's like, you can't go to the police and say that the coach molested you. And Charlie's like, why not? Liam's like, why not? And Charlie's like, because he didn't molest you. To which Liam replies, that's true, but he was a dick and we hated him. This is our chance for revenge. You want in? And I should stress, this was all said in one tone.
Yes.
Like one creepy-ass tone.
I love, too, how he says they did the coach instead of the priest to mix it up, because the priest is kind of overdone.
Have either of you ever taken revenge on someone?
Yes.
How?
Multitude of ways. Josh?
I'm trying to I have a big one, and I think about it all the time. This apartment complex I lived in this one time, at 11:30 at night, this whole car full of like Dave Matthews, Jack Johnson, but also like more drugs kind of hippies roll up in like a Volkswagen Jetta, you know, so they're rich hippies, they got money. And they're very loud, extremely loud. They park right in front of our apartment. And then they go to another apartment, and I could hear that they're just got the windows open. It's like there's no way that they're not waking everyone up in the entire complex. You know what I mean? With how loud they are. So I am drunk. So I go and I take some egg salad that's in my fridge, and I go take a bunch of acrylic paints that I have, shitty ones that I got in like art kits that people gave me. And I go out and I just dump it all on the hood of their car and on the side of their car. And then I go in the house. Nobody saw me. Then I go in the house. I go to bed. And then I wake up to yelling and screaming outside my window, because they're just so mad at what they found. And they feel that someone did it. Because I think someone I might have yelled. I think I yelled shut up from my apartment earlier. So before like anything happened, but again, I was drunk, so I didn't think about that later. And then they ended up calling the cops, and they were like yelling up, but the cops didn't do anything. They had no witnesses of who did anything, you know, so I never saw the cops ever. But I think Justin's brother was there, if I remember. I feel like I went to another window and kind of looked and I saw him. He's very easy to figure out it was him, you know. Does that make me evil? Was that wrong of me?
No.
No?
That's fine.
I think you're fine. I think you're fine on that one.
I think you're fine. Charlie doesn't want in, though, but a voice booms from the other room, and it's enter Ryan McPoyle.
Mm.
Now, his bathrobe is wide open, and his underwear is the same color as his flesh. It's all too much. He's also pledging the walls, like he's cleaning the house in this getup. And they're talking about how there's millions to be made here. They're going after the whole damn school board. And Charlie's like, no, you can't do this. You're exploiting actual victims. You're securing your place in hell. And Ryan adds, well, we're willing to roll the dice on that. Charlie threatens to call the cops, but then they counter. They'll tell the cops that the whole thing was Charlie's idea. And I love that Charlie's being threatened by two men that are not even barely dressed.
Right.
Like one of them's in a robe and underwear. The other's in a towel. We cut to a year ago. And Charlie is in the bar telling everyone, like, really, hey, you remember that fat gym teacher? We should say that he molested us. And everyone is laughing in the scene except for Liam McPoyle, who again is just staring into the distance. But does this suggest that these guys were friends? Are they friends?
No, I took it more like they were like just at a bar. I mean, it's like they're like townies, right? So they probably just happened upon each other one night, started drinking and whatever. You know what I mean? Like that's, I took it more like that than they were actually like hanging out. Like, you know, I don't know, like townie high school stuff. I feel like you, I don't know, like I'll run into people I went to high school with or whatever, and you end up drinking for the night with them at a bar or something back when you could go out. Right. Yeah, I think it was just probably something like that.
Well, Charlie tries to play it off by saying like he was joking. But then what I love about the show is we get another cut to like a year ago where Charlie's like, I'm not joking.
Yeah, that was good.
We should do it. I want to do it. Liam then turns to Charlie and goes, you don't have to join us, Charlie. But if anyone asks you point blank, your ass got molested.
Here's where I have a problem with the show. This is where they lost me. Like it happens every time this season. Why did Charlie go over there if the implication was he didn't remember what happened, right? Like, that's what we're supposed to get out of the scene. Charlie right. doesn't remember. They're reminding him. Somehow he used to be friends with the McPoyles, and now he's not, even though they've always been creepy. But that I can buy. You know, I can buy what Justin just said. But why does he get weird and then rush over there if he doesn't remember? Because it's there where they remind him. So it makes his motivation earlier seem like it was just made up.
I think there's actually a way around that. I think that like
if we have to think about that, there's a problem.
But what I mean is, but I think that works both ways, because I think you could remember like a drunken conversation where talking. I know I've had conversations where I've said things and I seem to remember other people have said them. And this is just regular conversations, not even like drunken.
I think it's more likely that he just heard that it was them and he knew it didn't happen. So he just went over there to say, like, why are you doing this to coach? Like, coach was great.
But that's what's weird to me is I would never assume that something that if someone was like that person molested someone, I wouldn't go, oh, that never happened. Because I'd be like, there are sometimes I'm not around people.
You know? Yeah, but like, I mean, I think that's forgivable with these guys. Like, that's. You know, Charlie, you know, he may have talked about it in the past and he remembered that they had never, I don't know, whatever. It's.
I was able to get by it, but it still like was one of those things where for a second I'm like, wait a second. I'm like, this is sloppy. You know, like it's okay because I enjoy the rest of the episode, what happens, but, you know, get it together, people, you know.
See, I guess I'm just so mesmerized by the McPoyles whenever they're on screen that. Whatever. They could probably do anything. They then threaten Charlie that he'll go to jail. And as they stare him down, they're like, prison could be a bad place for someone like Charlie. As Liam is combing his hair, a very bad place. And then, but as he says a very bad place, you hear a spray can. And Ryan, is he spraying Pledge directly into his mouth through a rag?
I believe he was huffing.
But it's so long. It's like.
It's great. I'm going to say stare at him.
Explains their friendship with Charlie.
We cut outside to Dennis, who's holding a sweet potato that's clearly shaped like a dick. And Dee wants to kidnap Charlie and intervene, but Dennis wants to ease him into it. But as he says ease, he's like thrusting the potato. It's such a great acting choice that Glenn Howard makes there. Dee then starts talking about some therapist called Dr. Gaynor, who she had sex with. And then she defends by saying, like, he didn't molest me. I had sex with him because I wanted to. This is news to Dennis, who's, like, all upset about this. And then Dee's like, of course I did. He's a hot older man. How do we feel about banging therapists?
I mean, I think, you know, you shoot your shot, regardless of profession and relationship.
Wait, so you're saying that the therapist shoots a shot or the
both ways, therapy? Whoever initiated.
All right. I mean, my therapist is on Teladoc, so, you know, that'd be a...
You could cyber.
I believe that's called OnlyFans, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's perfect. Dee accuses Dennis of molesting a bunch of girls, and then he shuts it down. He's like, I don't want that word thrown around like that. We cut to Mac. Okay, so now we cut to Mac, and he's banging on a door. He's wearing very small shorts.
Extremely short.
Coach Murray answers the door, and it's fucking Belding.
Yes.
How perfect is this casting?
Oh, beautiful.
I loved it. I wrote just one word, Belding.
Yeah, like he's got the. I mean, not only do you have all the implications from the Saved by the Bell stuff, mm-hmm. but he just looks right for the part too.
Yeah, just a beleaguered, beaten down old coach that like did nothing wrong but help these kids.
His whole energy, like shit. Like in the entire scene, was that like it was perfect in, as far as like casting goes. Like, because he felt like a guy that had seen some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that it was clearly innocent of what they're accusing him of.
Right.
Murray's explaining what's going on and how it's not true, but Mac is closing all the blinds. And then Murray drops a line. He wouldn't molest anybody because he's getting so much ass back in the day.
That's great.
Mac then sits down and starts showing off his legs and talking about how he gets really tight up here. And then Mac starts to molest Murray, who goes, "What are you doing?" And then Mac goes, "What do you want me to do?" And Mac is thrown out of the house like jazz. Now, I don't know if this is controversial. I think this is the worst scene in the show up till now.
Yeah. Oh, in like all the show or this episode?
I think all the whole series. And it's not because of Belding, because I think he's perfect.
You think it's because of Mac? Is his body too small for you here?
He's definitely too small. I don't think he's tight. No. What I don't like about it is I find, like, I can usually get behind all their schemes, but this storyline with him feeling the need to get molested mm-hmm. and then go out of his way to get molested is, like, it's too far beyond the believability for me.
At this point, I feel like if they had done this a couple seasons later when they had really thrown his sexuality into like a question still and they were exploring it more, it would seem, but this seems so like such a jump that I completely agree with you there.
Would you have been okay if you just went in the shorts and like kind of talked to him without like going the extra step at the end?
Yeah. Like if he was maybe like just like trying to see if the guy would be interested in him. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I felt it was just so put on.
Right.
Well, they had to give Mac a thing to do while everyone else was doing their thing. So.
Well, we cut back to the bar, and Dennis and Charlie are playing pool again. Dennis is trying to approach Naz, like, what's bothering you? And Dennis and Dee are not at all subtle about interrogating him. And they start arguing over the best method to talk to Charlie, and Charlie just walks out of the bar. Dee's like, we have to push him. And Dennis is like, no, we're pushing him away. And Mac bursts in, guys, I have good news, which is something we're going to see a lot of going forward. And he's been reading – I love the way he rephrases this. He goes, I've been reading about the subject of pedophilia, which I think is such a strange intro line. Turns out it's not about attraction. It's about power. The molester goes after the weakest, not the best looking. And Dee is like, great, great on the good news. And Dennis is like, what's wrong with you? Mac says it's good news because Murray wouldn't think Charlie was the weakest because Charlie was a bit of a psychopath. He would bite things. I don't think he would put his dick anywhere near him. Is this a fair assessment?
I think so, yes. Yeah. It's actually a good sleuthing by Mac, which makes that scene before even probably more questionable. Like, because I was thinking, would it have been better if his angle was because the big thing with Mac is, right, his head's always kind of in the sand, right? Especially when it comes to, like, his religion. And not that this is a priest, this is a coach, but still, it was Catholic school coach and all that. If his story would have been going there to prove he's not a molester. So he goes in the short shorts to try and prove he's not. And then he realizes that, wait, he definitely wouldn't have done it. And here's why. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's trying to prove his innocence versus being, you could have still have the jealousy piece in there, but not have it be driving him.
Yeah. I think a little bit of jealousy would have been fine.
A little. I mean, Mac is going to be jealous about this. Like, his character has to be jealous.
Yes,
I would say. But you're correct. He went there for the wrong reasons.
Well, so maybe he's trying to prove he did. So maybe instead of trying to prove or trying to get him to get molested, he's trying to prove that he didn't do it, so he wouldn't have been left out.
Right. Yeah. That would have been way more believable and consistent. Right. Yeah.
Well, like they basically so Mac's decision is that Charlie wasn't molested. Dee asks, well, what about the McPoyle brothers? And Mac says he probably went to town on them. Mac doesn't think Charlie was molested. Dennis and Dee laugh him off and they totally condescend him. And Dee says, I think it's cute that you did some research and got 4 books, though. And then Dee turns to Dennis and says, we tried your tiptoed pussy way. Now let's try something that'll work. Is Dee right?
Yeah. Didn't work, so.
No. Well, we're going to cut right away to Dee and Dennis at a door. Charlie's mom answers the door. And right away, I just want to say Charlie's mom is a fucking gem. I love this actress so much. All the parents that we see in this show, but especially hers, I think she's really fantastic.
It is like a who's who in this episode, which it didn't feel. I mean, it's a finale, right? So you wouldn't expect that, like this almost felt like a premiere episode with all the debuts. But you get the McPoyles, you get Mrs. Kelly, and you get another one coming in a minute. But it's like I can believe all these people debuted in the same episode at the end of a season.
Yeah.
So they're like, we need to talk to you about something, and we get the classic Sunny quick cut where she's just fucking bawling her eyes out, like. And then because she's clearly been told that Charlie got molested, and she's like, I have to admit, it does explain a lot about him. And then she stops and goes, be strong for your little gingerbread man. Now is not the time for an episode. Do your parents ever have any embarrassing childhood nicknames for you guys?
I didn't have one. No,
no, I can't think of it. I don't think, I mean, it, no, just my Josh.
My mom would call me bum or bummer.
Oh, were you depressing, or did that have something to do with your bum?
Oh, I'm sure I was horribly. They had a horrible divorce. I'm still convinced it was my fault.
Oh no, mine was. John. My parents was. True story. But yeah, that's another episode. Charlie's mom, though, so the beginning of this episode, I remember. So as soon as they mentioned the two, I remember the McPoyles. Okay.
Right.
Completely forgot about Charlie's mom ending up in this episode. Completely forgot about who we'll see next. And then when we're in it and we're seeing Charlie's mom and she's doing what she just did with, like, don't have one of your episodes. I'm like, I didn't realize they set her up to be this crazy from the start. Like, I thought that developed after, you know, like a couple seasons. They, like, really set the, you know, set it in motion a little bit more. But right from, like, her third line. She was already, like, they were setting up the OCD she's got later.
Yeah, no, she's got it now.
right. But meaning the OCD they really expand upon later.
Yes. She wants to know what she can do. And then they cut. Charlie shows up at his mom's. They lure him into a room, and the room is full of people. Grandma's there.
Lure him.
Uncle Jack is there. There's some children there. Who are these children, and why are they present for this?
Right. Seems like a questionable decision.
And then, of course, we got Dee, Dennis, and the McPoyles. And Charlie's mom is trying to run this intervention. And she basically says, I don't know how these things usually go. But then she puts over the McPoyles and their bravery. Talks about how, like, I don't know how this mother would have these people in her house and be normal with them. They hope the bad man goes away for a very long time. Then Liam starts talking about how bad prison would be for a guy like that. But this is where he eyeballs Dennis up and down. How long would it take Liam to agree to bang Dennis?
I think he did by eyeballing him.
Yeah, he got into every crevice with those eyes.
The crevice. Dee then presents a baby. And mom, Charlie's mom wants Charlie to show on the doll where he touched you. And Uncle Jack, okay, first impressions of Uncle Jack here.
Let's creepy go. Immediately. Before he even talks, is looking at him on the couch.
Before he talks.
And again, I was shocked. I did not remember him debuting this early. I was like, holy shit, Uncle Jack already?
And the creepiness of Uncle Jack already. Again, yeah. I thought that came later. Like,
they built this world so fast right here. Like, they expanded the world, like, exponentially within this episode. But yeah, Uncle Jack is so fucking creepy. And by the way, Charlie... I don't know if this was shot in some random order. He looks super, like, thin in this episode. Like, thinner than he has already in the series. Like, not that he's ever been a big guy, but he's, like, really, really, like, skinny in this one.
I agree. I also think it has something to do with the room and the cameras that they were using in this scene, especially. Because when they walk into that room, it's, like, wider, but looks distorted. Because I'm assuming that they're using some sort of shot. They're shooting in someone's house, clearly. You know, but, like, I think, like, to try to fit our... You notice when they went back to Charlie back and forth, it was supposed to be, like, the same room, but, like, everything looked... Like, Charlie's shot looked normal.
Right.
And then they turned around and everybody else looked, like, weirdly crowded, you know?
Yeah.
Uncle Jack, though, I didn't realize... He hit it so many times, the funny lines about the doll. Like, when he did it once, I was like, oh, this is so hilarious. The second time I was like about to, I was like laughing out loud, you know, really heartily. And then like the third time I had to pause it because I was just like, I didn't think, I wasn't expecting the creepiness like this many times in like a 30 second span.
And I love with Uncle Jack, like he, I think, I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead of us, but he stays creepy, but he gets weirder as the show goes on.
Yes.
Which is such an interesting choice. He's way into the baby. And at first, Charlie's mom has the baby on her back. And Charlie's mom goes, should I turn her over? And Jack quietly, yeah, yeah, turn her over. Do it. And then a finger comes up and Jack's like, slow, go slow. It's so fucking crazy. And then Charlie points right to the anus. This whole scene, what is the awkwardness level of this scene?
It's high. I mean, this is probably the most cringiest thing we've seen so far on the show, by far. It's probably like an 8 out of 10, close to there.
But it's not bad cringe, right?
No. No, it's not like Scott's Tots or something, you know what I mean? Like, it's more just like, oh my God, these people exist. You know, you're trying to process it all.
Right. Well, we cut away right away, and we're with the McPoyles, and they are driving what appears to be a very old car.
Oh, my God, I was dying. This car was the highlight of the show for me. It's so – like, they have this character so developed already that they had this car in the first episode. Like,
my only thing was, like, it's really old, and it seems consistent with them, the way they dress and all that stuff. Right. But also, like, a car like that would be considered, like, a sought-after nice car. So I was like, how the heck did they get this car?
I get the impression that everything they have and everything they own is hand-me-down.
Yes. Everything is like family legacy, like just the big redneck, you know, hillbilly family that just like passes the stuff down. That's what I take it to.
Do you think they have any Hummels or?
They're just like creepy 50s style heels. That is so weird. Like, like villains out of the 50s, like with this fucking
like
car
when,
and their scheme.
They come on. Patsy Cline should start playing
yes,
over there. Right. Yes.
It's like they're stuck in the 50s. You know what I mean? Like it's so weird.
They're talking about how it went and they think it went well. And then Charlie says, my favorite part was when we were all hugging and my sister screamed that I touched her vagina.
I actually stopped my, I paused it and I took a picture of that scene, like the caption there, because I just thought it was like one of, with a, the episode irritated me in some ways, but like with so many good lines, like that one was up there, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's such so absurd. Like, what the hell is that? There's a whole other section that we weren't privy to. They want to know where Charlie wants to go, and Charlie wants to go to the police station to make an official statement. So they show up and he wants to speak to it. They go to the desk and he's like, I want to speak to the detective. And whoever's behind the desk is like, what's this in reference to? And so calmly, Charlie's like, sodomy. But the McPoyles are standing behind him, and the look the cop gives him is like absolutely perfect. What is the cop thinking about the McPoyles? He's thinking that they're raping this guy, right?
Yeah, or he thinks he has a chance to really lock up some serious criminals right now.
Yeah. He's like, sodomy. And he looks at them. He's like, it adds up.
I should go check their basement, probably.
Ryan goes on a bit of a rant about the American school system and how it's been oppressing people for years. And it's time we did. And then he goes, it's time we did a little pressing ourselves. Is this true, though? Is the American school system a beacon of oppression?
I think it's part of a cog in the larger machine of oppression.
Mm. Yeah, it's a very complex system of oppression where the oppression is kind of oozing out every single end it can.
Liam is not having any of Ryan's talk, though. He gets mad at him and starts telling him he needs to think before he speaks. I love this little chastisement by, I guess he's the older brother. I don't know if we find that out ever. Charlie goes off with the detective, and McPoyles are starting to talk about how they're going to divvy up the money. But as they're doing it, they cut to Charlie, and Charlie is clearly telling the detectives that they're lying about the molestation.
Right. Not even hiding it.
Yeah. Ryan suggests that they split the money 50-50-50. Which is great. And right away the cops come and take the McPoyles away, and that's the end of the McPoyles for the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Cut back to the bar. Dennis is smoking at the bar, which I still find weird, even though like, you know, it's still strange. And they're talking about how everything worked out. And Charlie's like, the best part about this is, for me, now everybody in my life thinks I got molested, so my life is ruined, which is a great line. Charlie goes, he's going to go in the back and cry and drink for a while. And Dennis and Dee are very happy. They congratulate themselves about getting an emotional release out of him. And they talk about how they're psychologists. And finally, we cut to Mac and Murray, and Mac is apologizing. And then Murray like kind of goes in on Mac a bit, telling him he has potential, which moves Mac. That's probably right. Like the best thing anyone's ever said to him. Murray then sees him out, closes the door, and ends with, that little prick is going to hell. How do we feel about the stinger, like at the end stinger for this week? Because I know some of them so far have not been great. Well, what are our thoughts on this one?
I liked Mac getting the moment of happiness, and I like Dee and Dennis taking that's like a thing they'll do. So there's a couple of tropes in here, right? With them like kind of taking credit for success that didn't actually happen. I could have went without Murray's line though. Like, I think if he just would have walked away and like shook his head or something, like that would have been enough. Versus like, I think they were just trying to tie in Dennis saying he was going to hell earlier and like pay it off. But
right. I think that's exactly it. And that was one of the things that irritated me. You know, I was like, it didn't need to end like that.
How do we think they dealt with the subject of pedophilia?
Well, they didn't, but they dealt with terrible scammers. I think, as well as anyone would deal with it in a comedy in 2005, you know, that was on FX at 10 p.m. Like, right. It was kind of like how you thought it would be, like making fun of the, you know, the idea of Mac's reaction to it is exactly what you would think you would expect in that kind of comedy. Someone's going to react like that. The idea of it just being made up would be something that would be like totally commented on in 2005, you know, like, because now if that was the case, you wouldn't see that, because the idea of like discounting someone's, you know, testimony or coming out and saying what happened to them is so frowned upon. But like then it was just like, oh, people make up shit, you know.
Yeah, to me, tackle more the issue of molestation accusations than the actual act of molestation, you know?
Like, right.
Because no one actually got molested, so it was more focused on the...
Charlie was for sure molested by Uncle Jack.
Yes. It was more focused on just kind of the process of accusations and the vetting of innocence.
The vetting
of innocence. I will say at the end, we didn't need that McPoyle, like, back and forth interplay in the police station. But it was so amazing to see, like, them having conversation with each other with no one else in the scene.
Yes.
Like, that was, that to me was the best payoff of the entire episode, as opposed to, like, the little end caps with the gang. It was just, like, getting McPoyle and just with no Charlie, no one to say they're absurd, with them to point out their own absurdity, which is, like, they let it get so far. You know?
It was all worth it just for the 50-50-50 line.
50-50-50.
Well, and it's interesting that the little power dynamic developed between the two of them. Like, in the absence of someone else telling them they're absurd, one of them kind of stepped into the role.
Right. Which is all comedy, right. I guess, right? That's, you know, peas in a pod are great, but once someone has to make them absurd.
Well, the writers certainly made them absurd. What crimes were committed here in this episode?
False molestation accusations, obviously.
Yeah. What about Mac sexually assaulting?
Something about Uncle Jack is just terrible. So.
Yeah. Who's the least virtuous?
The McPoyles, Uncle Jack, and Mac I had as my three. Four, I guess.
Yeah, I put the McPoyles myself. But of the gang, I was like, it's a tough call when it comes to everyone but Charlie. Because even though Dee and Dennis are, like, not really hurting anyone, they're also, like, they are hurting people in order to soothe their egos, you know?
They're not helping anyone, that's for
they're
sure.
They're not helping anyone. They definitely hurt Charlie.
Yes. I had Mac as least virtuous, but, I mean, there's a case to be made for almost everyone. Who's the most virtuous?
Mrs. Kelly.
Yeah.
And Coach Murray.
Yeah,
he didn't do anything wrong.
Well, what was the ass he was getting back in the day?
What's wrong with that? Is this, I mean, you know.
Was he banging the female students?
No. No, I probably like a lot of single moms and stuff. That's how I took it.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie's mom, for sure.
Yeah, he was like a town star, you know.
Okay, let's do the gang from worst to best. So who's worst?
Mac,
okay.
Then, I don't know, Dennis and Dee kind of tied, and then Charlie.
Yeah. Charlie's pretty bad too, though, because doesn't he go along with...
He's kind of forced. It's kind of like a blackmail situation. And then he does do the right thing pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like he benefits from this at all. I mean, he pretty much wasn't going to take the money, and it ruins his life, so... And Mick Poyles and Uncle Jack are the worst anyway, of everyone.
Right. Charlie's the most abused, though, right?
Yeah, I had him and Coach Murray. Oh, yeah. Him and Coach Murray is most abused.
Yeah, I guess Coach Murray's really had his life ruined.
Yes.
Okay, so for alliances, I had Dennis and Dee as the psychoanalysts and Charlie and the McPoyles.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, what do you have for cringiest moment?
Everything in the McPoyles and the intervention, including Uncle Jack saying, turn it over.
Yeah, I think it was like the culmination of Charlie's finger going down and him saying slow, slow, that I was just like,
See, I'm not ready to take this award away from something that bothered me about the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I got Mac trying to get molested.
Okay.
I felt the whole thing was just ugh. What gave you the biggest laugh, though?
Biggest laugh. I had a few. So, back to that conversation around the studies, Dee and Dennis, when Dee says 3/4 of a major is better than a whole minor. That was a good line. Ryan doing the long ass whippet off the fucking pledge or what the fuck he was eating. Maxing gave great news and explains the mythology behind molestation. And then the, what about, sodomy line to the cop. That was good.
Yeah, I totally put the sodomy line on my first run through the episode, but by the second one, like Uncle Jack, he had like four of the words that he said, he got the best laughs for, like, you got the best bang for your buck with Uncle Jack, I felt like.
He looks so creepy, too. And they don't even have him, like, done up or anything. It's just a normal look.
It's the eyes. He looks so excited about... the creep, whatever he's looking at that he's being creepy about, that like if you brought out cake and he looked like that, I would assume he was being creepy about cake.
And the fucking mustache, everything.
Yeah, the shirt that's like he's wearing like the buttoned up short sleeve shirt too, right?
Yeah.
All right, any seeds that we noticed?
Launching the McPoyles kind of feud with Charlie and the gang. Miss Kelly maybe being fragile. And Mac desperately wanting any kind of father figure recognition at the end we see with him and Coach Murray.
I would also say Dennis and Dee going on the, we know better than everyone else. We're smarter than everyone else. We're going to like that role that they play in the episode. I feel like
we have to delineate between seeds and trope. I say I have that as a trope because they do that like all the time.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So for trope, I had Mac being jealous of not being loved, Dennis and Dee uppity about their education, and, you know, also always, you know, trying to solve shit before figuring it out, kind of, you know, holier than thou.
I would also throw in for the trope, someone coming into the bar happy about great news.
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
Okay, take us through the appearances, GT.
All right. What do we got here? Episode 7. We had Liam McPoyle, Ryan McPoyle, Coach Murray, Mrs. Kelly, and Jack Kelly.
And the daughters and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. Anyone that had a name, I gave.
Okay, let's rank this one. What are your scores?
All right. So I had this at 6.5.
What's my lowest score so far? Do you guys know?
Six. You went the dead guy. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The gun fever, you gave a 6.
We do half points, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's tough because I would say it's like a 6 because I felt like plot-wise it doesn't live up. Especially, you know, next week when we start next episode when we start the next season, you know, like plot-wise for me, this just felt really like kind of forced, like they were writing a different show than the It's Always Sunny I grow to love, you know. But then again, Uncle Jack and everyone was so hilarious, so I'm gonna maybe say a 6.5 because that second one through like really raised it up a half point for me.
So yeah, like I struggle with this one too because I hate the Mac stuff so much. Like, it's, I think it's the worst stuff we've seen, but the McPoyles and everything else is so awesome. I also, like, you guys were much more into the Dennis and Dee storyline than I was too, but talking through it and how many funny moments they were, I'm landing on 6.5 also.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think that makes sense. It's like not super, it's not like an all timer, but it also didn't suck. It's just, you know, there's a lot going on. I think the debuts carry it, like so many big appearances.
And right at the end too, it was like everything from Charlie's mom's house on like brought it back up from you. I was like, oh wait.
So we, if we need, to rank this right now, we have a tied with Charlie Wants an Abortion, which we all had a 6.5 as well. So it's a dead even tie.
Wow.
I would give this one the nod, I think, only because of the debuts of the McPoyles. Like, these are major characters that debuted, the McPoyles and Mrs. Kelly. As I mean, Jack Kelly's obviously kind of big, not as big as them, but like the McPoyles are pretty big debuts.
I agree the debuts are big. Like, my only counter to that is there's nothing on Charlie Wants an Abortion that's as bad as the Mac stuff.
Yeah.
So Josh,
it comes down to our classic argument, Aaron, of steady or the well, great with the shit.
Yeah, Josh, break the tie.
It's tough because Charlie Has an Abortion wasn't that great either. A lot of that seemed weirdly forced. You know, you got another scam that's going on in the scheme that's just kind of right, like, doesn't make any, you know, when you start picking holes through, you're like, how did this be a whole episode? I'm going to say this one because of the debuts really get me. McPoyles and Jack. And I would say if we were watching this and I'd never seen any other episode of this past this episode, I might say the abortion one over this, but because I know everything I know going forward, to me, this is going to be the winner of the losers.
So then our worst episode we've seen so far is Gun Fever. Then Gang, the debut Gang Gets Racist. Then Gang Finds a Dead Guy. Then Charlie Wants an Abortion. So this is the third best show so far.
Yep.
Charlie Got Molested. Just behind Teenage Drinking and National Concern, and our top show still is Charlie Gets Cancer.
Yep. I think those will quickly fall toward the bottom as we move forward, of course.
Yes.
All right, so two weeks, we'll be hitting episode 8, which is actually season 2, episode 1.
Yeah.
And it's a big one, so we'll get into that in a couple weeks. Lots going on, as always, in the North-South Connection Podcast Network. Each and every day we have podcasts dropping. You know, this past week we had a pretty loaded week. Aaron, you had a brand new year that was looking at 2008 WWE pay-per-view year. Tuesday we had a new Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast. I, myself, and Logan Crosland joined Jake Williams to look at a very hot week of WWE action. The July 1st, 2002 Raw and July 4th, 2002 SmackDown, filled with big matches and moments, both of those. So that was a lot of fun. We had a brand new Extreme Three-Way Dance where Jenny, myself, and D'Amato looked at November to Remember 1995. And then, of course, this. And tomorrow we have a brand new No Holds Barred dropping on Saturday as well. Plus this week in the NFL, second print of comics. And that's just this week. I mean, that's all a ton of content. So be sure to check it out. Josh is not on Twitter. He pretends to be. Aaron D. George, JT the Pod Guy, facebook.com/NorthSouthConnection. Until next time, everyone, stay safe. Deep in the dark, your kiss will thrill me like days of old, lighting the spark of love that fills me with dreams untold. Each day I pray for evening just to be with you, together at last at twilight time.